Your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Micah, chapter 6. Micah, chapter 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for what you've done for us. We love you. Would you now focus our minds and our attention on the Word of God? God, I pray that you just use the preaching of your book at this hour, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The people here in the book of Micah wanted to be closer to God. Now, if you'll listen to me, we'll come back to this passage in a moment. I really do want to help you. These people longed to be closer to the Lord. And in this passage, there's a question proposed. The people said, shall I give of my firstborn for the sin of my soul? God, we long so much to be close to you. Do I need to even sacrifice my own child to get close to you? Now, let me say this. God has never been for human sacrifice. You're gonna hear some wacky people out there say, "Oh, we need to sacrifice our children, and we need to." Those are the kind of people that you just need to avoid altogether. That's stupid. Oh, you can handle snakes to prove that you have the power of God. Now, I'm not afraid of snakes, but I got enough sense to respect them. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about handling snakes. The Bible does say that the Apostle Paul was warming himself by a fire and one bit him. And because he was preaching the word of God, that God protected him. But Paul didn't reach in the fire and play with that thing, just so you know. There's a fine line between faith and foolish, and that's foolish, just so you know. Now, God tells these people he knows that they want to get closer to him. Listen to this statement. Why would God make it difficult for us to get close to him? Why would God make it difficult for us to get close to him? He created us to be close to him. If he created us to be close to him, why would he make it difficult? Let me say it this way. Sin entered the world through Adam, and because of that, man separated himself from God. It was man's choice, not God's. God did not want you separated. That's why he told Adam, don't do that. But Adam disobeyed. By the way, every one of us are sinners. Every one of us, because of our sin, separates ourselves from our God. But God does not make it difficult for you to get close to him. Listen to me very carefully. The battle now comes of us getting close to God, not between God and man, but man versus sin. It is you versus your sin, not you versus God. God made it easy for you to care for your sin problem. Did you know that God did not make it hard for you to have your sins forgiven? God did not make it to where you had to live a certain lifestyle for your sin to be cared for. You say, why? Because none of us are good enough to live that lifestyle. We not only would have had to have been as sinless as Jesus, but we would have had to be as righteous as Jesus. And we don't qualify for either. Right. Guess what? He made it available to you so that all you had to do is accept what Jesus Christ did for you to take you to heaven. He did it all. It's all you had to do is receive it. And God made that breach between him and us very reachable for everybody. I was winning somebody to Christ this week, and I said, Doc, I said, I did this well over 40 years ago, and I'm just as saved now as I was over 40 years ago. Can I tell you something? As a small child, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and from that moment on, I've been on my way to heaven. Amen? You say, why? Because it's all been cared for. It's all been nailed down. It's all cared for. Now, listen to me. He gave us, at salvation, the Holy Spirit to guide us. The Holy Spirit is that still small voice inside the heart of the believer that says, this is right, that's not, this is the way to go, don't go that way. The Holy Spirit was not given as some sign of your spirituality. It's not a show. It's not to lay on the floor and flop and wiggle like a fish out of water and say, oh, I got it, I got it, I got it. I don't know what they got, but I don't want that. The Holy Spirit regenerates man's dead spirit. It regenes it, makes it eternal, and that is what salvation really is. And then the Holy Spirit, which is God, lives inside of you, and as you start going through life, he says, I want you to go this way. Then I want you to go this way. And hey, avoid that. Don't go by that. Don't even look at it. And he starts guiding you along the way. How does he guide you? He prompts you with his Spirit, and he also reveals it through his book. See, the Holy Spirit is God, the Spirit, and that's Jesus, the Word of God. Everybody doing all right? That's why they must match. Well, I feel led by the Spirit. I don't know what you're being led by, but if it's in contrary to the Word of God, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. That much I can prove. Let me say it this way. God wants us to follow Him and not our own sinful desires. I love my three children. I have two boys and a daughter. I have two adult young men as children. One is married. The other is in Kentucky and has put a year in Bible college and is working two jobs now, and he's getting ready to go into law enforcement, and I'm happy about that. I'm as tickled to death with both of my boys. I got one that wants to go start a church, and one that wants to be a police officer and shoot his brother. No, I love my children. I love my daughter. Do you know that because I love my children, I do not want it hard on my children to get close to me. You know, I have never made it difficult for my children to be close. Not ever. Say why? Because I love them. Even when my children have done wrong, it's not been hard for them to get close to me. Did you catch that? Listen to this statement. And by the way, I've had adult children do wrong, just so you know. And while that child was doing wrong, I did not condone the wrong that they were doing, but I still made it available for them to be close. I did not participate nor endorse the wrong being done, but I still let them know they were loved and they could be close just by a request. I remember the day when my son had enough of the world. I was sitting in a tree stand, Brother Bob, on your property. You know exactly which tree it is. I had texted my son and said, I'm sitting in a tree stand and I was thinking about you, and I love you. My phone rang. He said, Dad, I've had enough. I've had enough. Say, what did you do? I came down out of that tree as quick as I could get that stand down. You know what he told me later? He said, "Dad, you and Mom loved me no matter what I did." He said, "Every time I'd close my eyes, I'd see you sitting in your chair early in the morning praying for me." He said, "I'd hear Mom sitting on the couch in the living room praying for me." He said, "I can't fight it anymore." I said, "Then don't fight it. Why don't you get back with God?" I said, "Who do you want? You name the person in America that you want to help you, and I'll get him." He named a preacher. I said, "In 10 minutes, they'll call you." I contacted that preacher, and within 10 minutes, they were talking to my boy. Say why? Because I didn't give up. I made it easy for him to get back. I didn't put my stamp of approval on what he was doing. Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you something? I want to be close to my kids. I'm busy. I stay busy. Because all my daughter needs to do is say, "Daddy, you have a minute?" That quick. That quick. If I, as a sinner, if I, as a human being, want to spend time with my children, how much more does God, who is sinless, want to spend time with his children? God tells us in this passage, I'm going to use a term here, he gives us a recipe. He gives us a little pattern of how we can be close to him. He gives us a pattern of how he actually uses the term how we can do good. Now, listen to this statement. You do not do good to get saved. You do good to stay close to your God. Doing good gets nobody saved. But the doing of good helps you get closer to God because God is good. Let me give you this little three-step outline that will help you this morning. And I think it will be a blessing to you. It's found in verse number 8. The Bible says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require?" Now, notice the word require. Here's your three prerequisites, the requirements for doing good. Ladies, when you bake a cake, there are certain things you have to have. If you don't have eggs and you don't have flour, guess what? You don't have a cake. You can substitute a lot of things, but you got to have eggs and you got to have flour. Most everything else, and you got to have baking powder. Amen? That's what makes it go whoosh and not look like a brick. You got to have all the right ingredients. There are certain requirements. Now, you can add different flavors, and you can add this, and you can substitute sweeteners, and you can do all kinds of things, but there are some things you can't substitute. You just got to have them. They're the requirement for it, amen? And that is exactly what God says here. There's a requirement for the doing of good. Now, here we go. Point number one. God said that the first thing you have to do in order to be able to do good, I want you to notice what he says here. The Bible says, but to do justly. He said, I want you to do justly. I want you to do justice. Now, everybody look at me for a moment. The word justice is the word exactness. It is the word having all of the facts before a decision is made. Do you know that in the American court system, it used to be innocent till proven guilty? Now, listen to this statement. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. It used to be if a crime were committed and there was an accusation made, then after the accusation, you would go to trial. And both sides would present all of their side of the issue. They would answer the questions, etc., etc., etc. After all of the facts were presented, then either a judge or a jury would take all those facts and come to a decision. Did they do wrong, or was wrong not done? By the way, and it had to be that it was proven, even without, if it was plausible that they did not, then they were not found guilty. Did you know that that's called justice? Waiting until you have all the facts to make a decision. God said, I want you as a child of God to live your life to where you wait till you have all the facts before you form an opinion. I'm going to use an illustration. Justice is not listening to rumors. Justice is not listening to gossip. Well, I saw this, so I know this is true. The Bible says, no, unless there's two or three witnesses, then you hear the case. Just because two people say something doesn't mean it's so. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That just means you have the right to have somebody intercede and hear all the facts. That just means you hear the accusation. That doesn't mean somebody's found guilty. I'm probably going to get in trouble, but just add it to the list. I've been on that list a long time. This mess in St. Louis right now. Ferguson, Missouri. Everybody know what I'm talking about? We have convicted a police officer on accusation, and none of the facts have even been presented. Some of you have formed an opinion either for or against the officers, and we don't even have the facts yet. Justice requires you stop and wait till the case is over to decide what happened. I will say this. Violence, looting, and criminality, listen to this statement, is not the way to get justice. It's amazing how we take the word of one or two people, or what we think one or two people saw, and say that is what happened. The United States news media is famous for this, just so you know. They want to push their political view down your throat and get mad at the Christian for standing up for justice. Everybody doing all right? You say, what is your opinion about it? I don't have one. I really don't. I do know this, how people are behaving is deplorable and it's wrong. I think we ought to wait till we get all the facts together and find out what all the facts are before we get an opinion. I have no idea if the officers were right and wrong. Do you know that there are other facts to the story? Did you know that the police officers supposedly, keyword, have as much proof that the young man was as wrong as could be? You know, there are officers that saw those two young men push a police officer into his own cruiser and grab for a service weapon, and that's why it was fired. Say, is that what happened? I don't know. Nor do you. But I do think it's wrong for Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the NAACP, and President Obama to get up and convict a police officer. By the way, I think it's wrong for this Baptist preacher to get up and convict a young man who cannot even speak for himself right now as being wrong until we get all the facts together. I'll defend both right now, just so you know, because we don't have the facts. God said that is doing justice. That is justice. Some of you have convicted the young man already, and I hate to tell you, you don't have enough facts to convict anybody. Everybody doing all right? Okay, let me show you what I mean. Some of us need to do justice with we're to do justly at all times. For instance, some of you believe whatever they say in the news. Everybody look at me. I'm going to use something that I think is very humorous, but it's very real in this area. Some of you believe the weatherman. Yeah, Lion Luke Scully, amen. folks, oh, it's going to snow. Okay, I've lived in Martinsburg 12 and a half years. About 90% of the time they say it's going to snow, it doesn't. Oh, it's going to rain. We're going to have a typhoon. Impossible, you're not in the Pacific. And you're too far inland to get too much damage from it anyway. Some of you freak out when you believe everything the news says. Now, listen to this statement. I realize Hagerstown gets more severe weather than Martinsburg. And I also realize Winchester gets worse weather than we do. We have the Martinsburg split, the Panhandle split, amen? These mountains are situated just right to where we're protected about 90% of the time. I've lived here 12 and a half years. They have seen one funnel cloud in 12 and a half years. And when you hear severe weather, everybody wants to stay home because, well, they said we could have tornadoes. There hasn't been a tornado hit in Martinsburg since Noah got off the ark just about. Good night. And by the way, even if you stay home, you can't stop it anyway. Some of you believe whatever the news says. Why don't we do justice? Everybody doing all right? Some of you need to do justice with your medical reports. Some of you, whatever the first doctor tells you, oh, you've got that ailment, and 14 more. Do you know that doctors are human? I'm dealing with a lady right now who has a brain tumor. And it's quite sizable. It's about the size of a golf ball. And she's been given two options. She's been given two different surgeons that her coverage will cover. And she asked me my opinion. I said, let me do some research. One has been out of into the neurosurgery field for 3 years. The other has 20 plus years experience. I asked some people who are very capable, very qualified in the medical profession. They said, both are good doctors. This one has a proven reputation. This one's building. They said, both are good. One is proven. The other is proving. I said, if it were your head that we're going to go under the knife, which one would you want? He said, proven. They're not practicing on my head. I gave them that information. By the way, I defended both doctors. I said, you have a choice between good and best. I said, I wouldn't be upset with you either way. If it were me, I'd want it out of there. God knows there's more room in my head than most, but that's okay. What are you laughing at, Brother Barnes? They could put a softball inside yours. No, I'm teasing. But, you know, sometimes you've got to get other opinions. Just because one says it doesn't mean it's true. Boy, that's a good statement. Let me move on here. Did you know that works salvation is not just? Do you know that people believe that you get to heaven by being good? That is not just to God. My Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you know that if I could get to heaven because I have lived a little better than Brother Smith, that's not fair. That's not just. How much good requires that you get to heaven? I can tell you. Perfection. Yep. Perfection. And guess what? Because you're a sinner, you don't qualify. So the very thought that you could get to heaven by being a good person, guess what? That's unjust to God. Did you know that believing you could get to heaven by getting baptized in the baptistry is unjust? Now, some, this is their baptistry. I drink it regularly. Others, did you know there are people in life? Did you know that the thief on the cross that got saved went to heaven and he didn't get baptized? Everybody doing all right? So apparently you can go to heaven without being baptized. You can. Baptism is just like my wedding ring. I can take that ring off and still be married. People know I'm married because I wear it. It lets every other person in the world know I'm taken by that little lady right there and everything's all right. Leave me alone. That's exactly what it says. Can I tell you something? Baptism is the same thing. You can be saved and not be baptized, but baptism lets everybody else know you got saved. That's all it is. It is an act of obedience. Now, listen to me carefully. Did you know that, by the way, it's unjust for you to try to work your way to heaven when Jesus came and paid that price for you? He already paid it. What could you do more? Did you know that living like a lost person, living like the world, is not just to God? Did you catch that statement? Did you realize that living the worldly lifestyle is not justice to God for the Christian? He gave you a book and asked you to live by that book. Well, I just don't understand all these rules, 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 rules. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. I don't understand why God would do it. You don't have to understand it, just do it. There was a lot of times in my life I didn't understand why my mom and dad said what they said. But I did understand later in life. See, you want understanding before obedience. God says, obey, I'll give you understanding. You're trying to bring your human reasoning and your sinful reasoning into things. And God says, just obey me. That's justice. here we go. Get real mad at me. That's why liberal Christianity is not justice to God. Churches that get up and use perverted Bibles aren't just with God. Oh, you can read any version and it's okay. It's all Bible. No, it's not. They've changed the words. They've left some out. They've added some. They've changed some. They've changed the meaning of. And my Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And in the same chapter, 13 verses later, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And may I say this, if you don't have an every word Bible, you don't have the truth. Well, we have to change our music. We need to add rock music to draw the young people. Why would you want to use the devil's tactics to reach things for God? I have no desire to be like the devil. We're going to lighten things up and we're going to have casual Christianity to reach the modern generation. No, the Bible says by the foolishness of preaching that you will. Let me say this. Expecting other people to live the way you do is unjust. Do you know that I do not expect you to live the way I do? I can't. That's unjust. You know, there are some people you've recently got saved. And Christianity is new to you. I don't expect you to do everything that I've been doing for the last 47 years. I don't. Say why? I grew up with it. You didn't. I'll be patient. People need time to grow, but some of you need to decide to grow. Don't get mad at me with this. Some of you Pharisees expect everybody to be a computer or a robot. You want everybody the same. God didn't make everybody the same. You know, God did not make everybody to be identical. And there's a reason. You know, God doesn't expect Brother Matt Smith to be exactly like me. And he's glad, so am I. Can I tell you why? God made each and every individual, but there are certain principles by which we all should live. Did you catch that? God didn't make us to be cookie-cutter Christians. Oh, there you go. There's one. There's another. There's another. There's another. And they all look the same. Oh, no. Now, there are certain principles and guidelines by, you know, if you're going to make chocolate chip cookies, if there's no chocolate chips, you don't have chocolate chip cookies. If you don't have flour and sugar and chocolate chips and vanilla and butter and a little bit of salt, you don't have chocolate chip cookies. I don't care what healthy thing you put in there, call it, it's not chocolate chip cookies. Amen. You might have some other kind of cookie, but don't call it what it's not. Boy, that's good. God said, first ingredient, do justice. By the way, that means when your children are in a conflict, you don't believe the one that speaks the loudest. You investigate to find out what the truth is. That means when your friend says something, just because your friend said it doesn't mean it's true. You ought to investigate and find out what the facts are. Everybody doing all right? I challenge you, take what I give you, line it up with the Word of God, and see if it's right. Number two, God said, first requirement, to do justly. I love this next one. Everybody ready? Second thing is, love mercy. To love mercy. Now, mercy, listen to this statement. Mercy is not the absence of punishment. Mercy is not the absence of correction. Most of you get caught doing something and say, well, give me mercy. Mercy does not mean no punishment. Yes, sir. Amen. Mercy means applying punishment or correction with love. Oh, I'm going to throw myself at the mercy of the court. Well, the mercy of the court means this. If you've been found guilty of something and you have a sentence of 1 to 10 years, mercy is they give you less than 10, but you get punished. Walking away scot-free is not just. Did you catch that? So without application of some punishment for wrong that is proven, there is no justice, therefore could not have mercy. But mercy is applying correction with love. Do you know that people need corrected? Let me say it this way. You and I both need corrected. But it needs to be done in a way that's appropriate. Do you know? I'll bet you there's not, other than my mom and dad, you've never seen my children corrected. Say why? Because it's none of your business. I'll correct them at home. Now, if they're doing something stupid at the church, they're going to get hopped too. But we won't get the full wrath of the correction till later. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Say why? Correction is supposed to be done in private. That's why I'm against reporters and the news media in the court system. Justice and mercy are to be applied privately. It's none of your business what somebody else gets. Let me teach you something, parents. When you have a conflict between two children, or two people in your home, guess what? They're not supposed to go around telling everybody what their punishment was. All three of my children are different. Praise the Lord. Did you know, I've got a child that from the time they were very, very small, is all I had to do is look at that child with a look of disappointment, and that child would break. They really would. I had another one. You could beat them till they broke, and they're going to go back and do the same thing. One probably received fewer, I'll use the word spankings. I never beat my children because I had one that would listen and one that wouldn't. Mercy was easier to the one that would listen. Mercy was easier to the one that would fix it. But guess what? That didn't mean they didn't get it. Right. Amen. Did you catch that? When, I'm going to make a statement here. Talking about your correction and getting others upset about it, they never got corrected. When you discipline your children and they go to their room and talk to their brother or sister, man, I can't believe my dad did that. I can't believe I got this and that. That's just not right. That's just not fair. They weren't corrected. And they need more correction. By the way, some of you need that at work. When a boss corrects you and you go around spouting off at how unfair and how not right the boss was for correcting you, guess what? You didn't receive your correction. You'd spank your kids for that. Okay, getting quiet. Some of you need to teach your children how to receive their correction. By the way, I'm going to make a statement. You're going to confuse your children if they get corrected for it once, but they don't get corrected for it the next time they do it. Well, they came to me and told me, so I didn't punish them. No, they might receive less punishment, but punishment's supposed to still be given. Some of you are confusing your children by not punishing every time for the same offense. Called consistency. Now, if you get to the point where they're starting to see things, mercy is, I love you, and instead of this, you're going to get this for punishment, but you're still going to be punished. Everybody catch that? Wow. That's God's way, not man's way. Boy, that's good stuff. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Some of you need to back all authority when they correct your kids. My kids will tell you, if the teacher said they did wrong, even if they didn't, I back the teacher. Some of you are going to get mad at a teacher or a Sunday school teacher for taking little Johnny or little Susie and getting them some discipline. Listen to this statement. How many times have you caught them doing the same stupid thing? And you want to attack another authority for them seeing it done? And my motto was this. What did my kids get away with that the teacher didn't see? If the teacher was unjust in applying it this time, they missed it a couple times on the others. It's just making up for it. My kids knew. Well, it was the teacher's fault. They were going to get crucified for that statement. Well, I really didn't. Okay, what did you do, though? You were close enough to the situation to where it appeared you did that. Guess what? Guilty by association. Say, so you didn't march in to the principal's office? I was the principal. You didn't march into the preacher's office and say, this isn't fair? No. And if I did, my children never knew I did. Just so you know. And most of the time I marched in and say, how do I deal with this? Because I'm a little confused. I'm not upset. I'm just confused. And would you help me? Boy, that's good. Can I tell you something? Some of you need to learn to love preaching. Can I tell you what preaching is? Preaching is mercy. Preaching is God giving you the truth, showing you what needs corrected in your life. Applied through a man with love. I don't hate you. I love you. You know, taking medicine's not always good, but it will fix something. Boy, that's a good statement. Lastly, and I got to hurry. We said the Bible says to do justly, to love mercy. And this is my favorite part. You ready? And to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly with thy God. You know, we are not supposed to walk around pious with our phylacteries wrapped around us saying, holy, 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 look how spiritual I am. Puke. I'm sorry, gag. When people dress in their phylacteries of religion to prove their spirituality, listen to this statement. God gets sick at his stomach and wants to vomit. Well, you need to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and show how spiritual you are. Number one, that's not found in Scripture. Number two, that's pride. That's not humility. And number three, the gift of tongues was so people could get saved. How many people got saved because of your jibber jabber in tongues? If they didn't, it wasn't from God. Plain and simple. Boy, that was fun to say. Can I tell you this? Every time in Scripture that somebody got close to God, they said, woe is me, not look at me. Every time in Scripture someone got closer to God, they would bow their knee and say, woe is me, I'm unclean. They didn't come back and say, look at me, y'all. Look how spiritual I am. They said, whoa. If Brother Smith were God, boy, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But here I am, a sinner, and I get saved. And I start reading my Bible and start praying and start winning people to Christ and I start getting to know God. Do you know that the closer to Him I get, the more I see myself as I really am?
Yes, sir.
And the closer to Him I get, the farther away I feel. Because I see me as the dirty, wicked, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner that I really am. Some of you, as you get saved and start growing, start feeling worse about your life. Good, you're about to grow. That means you're getting closer to God and you're seeing yourself as you really are, a sinner. The Bible says as Isaiah caught a glimpse of God in Isaiah 6, he said, woe is me, for I am unclean and undone. He didn't say, look at me. He said, woe is me. And every time you start getting closer to God, you're going to start feeling worse and worse about yourself. Some of you know just enough about God to be miserable. And you've never grown past that. When I go out soul winning, I start talking to somebody and Brother Bob, I'll say, you know, we're all sinners. I'm a preacher, but I'm a sinner. Wouldn't you agree? According to the Bible, you're a sinner too. Guess what? I'm as bad a sinner as Bob is, as Levi. Not quite as bad as Ed Hawkins. But I'm just as bad a sinner as every other human being on the face of the earth. Can I tell you why? Because my carcass is made out of the same sinful flesh yours is. I am no better than anybody else. And for the Pope to lift himself up and speak ex cathedra and say, kiss my ring, kiss my toe, and let me pray for you and I'll get you there. That is pious, it is sinful, and it is wrong. I don't care what $500,000 grapefruit you got on your head. I don't care how people lift you up and El Papa. My Bible says when I get saved, I can cry, Abba, Father. I don't need the Pope. I got Jesus. The closer to God you get, the more you're going to want others to be close to Him. Did you catch that? The closer to God you get, the more you want others to be close to Him. Let me show you what I mean. I love my wife. She's one of the greatest people on the face of this earth. She's going to get mad at me for this. Every one of you ladies, if you've talked to me privately for any amount of time at all, I'll reference my wife. Promise you. And I'll lift my wife up to you. Can I tell you why? I want you to get to know her. Say why? Because I love her. Can I tell you something? The closer you get to God, the more you want others to get close to Him. When you get a taste of God, you can't help but go out and get somebody else. Well, I just don't understand all this soul winning. You don't understand the soul winning because you're not closer to God. The closer you get to Him, the more you're going to want to bring people to Him. You know, God made you to spend time with Him. The whole purpose of you being created was for you to spend time with God. Can I tell you something? Some of you have a hard time reading this book right here. Those are the words of God. Can I tell you why you have a hard time reading those words? Because you don't want to know the God of those words. Well, if I start getting spiritual, something will have to change. Yeah, they will. But not because you have to, but because you're going to want to be closer to Him. Some of you are afraid to get close to God. Can I tell you something? God's not one you have to be afraid of. God's not. God's not somebody that you have to be afraid of. You know, reading His Bible. You know, coming to church shouldn't be a chore. It should be something you want to do. Man, I can't wait for church. Sunday morning rolls around. I cannot wait. You know, I get to be at church 7 days a week. I love every day I get to go to church. As soon as we say amen, I'm ready for Sunday night church. And as soon as we say the final amen tonight, I'm ready for Wednesday night. Say why? I love being in the house of God with God's people doing what God wanted us to do. And I need it as much as you need it. Boy. Let me say it this way. I did not get married to show off my manhood. 25 years ago, when my wife and I got married, June 24th, 1989, yes, I did not have to look that up, and it's not written down. Did you know that 25 plus years ago, when I got married, I did not get married to put her on my arm and say, look what I got. No, I loved her. And we have been growing in love for 25 more years. Listen to this. I got married due to a relationship. Did you catch that? We started a relationship, and because of that, we knew God wanted us together forever, and we, because of our relationship, we got close and got married. I love this, brother. Ed, you're going to have a spell. Did you know that God compares the church to a bride and a groom? And the closer you get in the relationship, the better the marriage. Some of you are about ready to divorce God. Some of you are on an illegal separation from God. Some of you only visit Him once a week. If you only went home once a week, one meal a week, How good's your marriage? Man, it's getting quiet in here. You don't do good to get saved. You do good because you are saved and you follow this recipe. God gives you this simple recipe. I'll close with this. Sweet thing happened this week. Now, I'll be appropriate. But on Thursday, Mrs. Ecker called me and she knows of a man who was given that morning word that he has three different kinds of cancer, needs open heart surgery, and the doctor said, we can't do much. and he's lost. And she said, no, this is clear over in Westminster, Maryland. This is hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes away. He was just told a few hours before that he's dying. I'm guessing, I don't know exactly how old the man is, probably approaching 70, if he's not 70 already. Not a churched man. And honestly, I don't mean this unkindly, probably not a good man by most people's standards. But they were burdened. They said, preacher, we'll go with you. I said, when do you want to go? They said, when can you? I said, I'm leaving in 10 minutes. I jumped in my car, drove to their house. We got in their car. We drove clear over to Westminster, Maryland. The man's daughter was there. We walked in, and she's a saved lady. Walked in, never met the man. Told him who I was. We started talking. He began to weep about the news he had. And I said, Leroy, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you like to know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, oh, I know. I said, how do you know? He said, well, never killed anybody. I've been pretty good. I went to 1 John 5:13. I went to Romans 3:10. I went to Romans 3:23. I said, Leroy, I'm a sinner, are you? He said, oh, yeah, we've all sinned. I said, yes, we have. I went to Romans 6:23, Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. And when I got to the word hell, he said, knew you were going to go there. He began to weep. I'm not talking just tears. I'm talking squirting tears. I got back to Romans 6:23, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. I said, Leroy, wouldn't you like to trust what Jesus did to take you to heaven? He said, I sure would. Whew. A tough old man bowed his head. I said, bow your head and close your eyes. I said, I want you to tell the Lord something like this. I never tell people to pray out loud, but he started praying out loud. He said, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. And I know because I'm a sinner, I deserve hell. But right now, and boy, he was sobbing. I'm not kidding. It took long periods of time just to get through the prayer because he was crying so hard. Boy, did he get saved. Amen. By the way, crying doesn't make anybody saved. But it meant something to that man. He'd lived such a hard life, there's a little doubt about whether he really meant it. To some. Even Kay and Kermit and I, we were not concerned, but it's always in the back of your mind. That night, one of Kay's boys called her. He said, he was kind of hem-hawing around a little bit. She said, did you go up and see Leroy? He said, uh-huh. He said, how could you tell? She said, well, we were up there today and I took my pastor up there. He said, Mom, that's all he talked about. He talked about getting saved. He just kept talking about what your pastor said and how he got saved and how much peace he had. That kind of confirmed it for her, amen? Wait a minute, story's not over. Her son said, Mom, didn't a few years ago you talk to my wife and tell her how to be saved? She said, of course I did. He said, you know, I've been thinking about it. I think I need to get saved. And that night, Kay got to lead her boy to the Lord on the phone. Whew. Say, what is that? Oh, the story's not over. I believe there's going to be more people get saved out of all this. What is that? I told Kay and Kermit on the way home, I said, just so you know, that's God. That's not me. I said, I've never met the man. Didn't even know his name before today. But God did. God did. Can I tell you something? That's called humbly walking with your God. I didn't have time to take a week and say, oh God, I need your power. Oh God, give me the words to say. No, I had about an hour and 20 minutes on the drive up there thinking, oh God, help me. By the way, I can't save anybody. And I told him, I'm just a delivery boy. I can't promise anything. Can I tell you, to me, one of the sweetest parts of the whole story? We walked into the room and I thought it was Kay and the man's daughter and Kermit with me. I got done, got up. Kermit was gone. He was out getting smoke. But he wasn't there. We walked out of the room. Kay said, "Where's Kermit?" I said, "I have no idea." We walked down the hall, turned left, went out to the waiting room, and there's Kermit. He heard us coming, and Kay hollers. She said, "Kermit, where were you?" He said, "I've been out here praying for him to get saved." I said, "Well, God answered it." Man, we started blubbering again. You know, that's called justice. That man looked at me after he got saved. He said, "Reverend, I haven't been good." I said, "No, but neither was Moses. Neither was David. Neither was the Apostle Paul. Neither were just about everybody else in the Word of God, because we're all sinners." I said, "And God used three of those men to pen a lot of the Word of God. Two of them were murderers. As a matter of fact, all three of those were." He said, "Really?" I said, "Really." I said, "God forgave it all. All." Folks, that's called God's justice. God's mercy. His mercy, maybe he'll die soon, but at least he had the chance to get saved. That's God's mercy. Now it's time to walk humbly with your God. Not proud, not arrogant. By the way, that's why soul winning is important to the Christian. Soul winning will keep you humble. Some of you are proud and arrogant because you've never told anybody about Christ. You go out and have to go talk to a lost sinner and tell them, "Brother Bob, I'm just as bad a sinner as you are." That keeps you humble real quick. You do that on a regular basis, guess what? You start believing you're a dirty, wicked, filthy, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing, scum-of-the-earth sinner like you really are. That's why this church is a hospital, not a museum. This isn't a place we're going to criticize you because you're a sinner. You say, why? Because we're all sinners. This is a place where you come to get saved and let God change your life. Let God build on you to go out and reach others who need exactly what you just got. And that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say today, "Preacher, if I died today, I know, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, "Preacher, and I'll not embarrass you. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you any more than I just embarrassed those folks." But who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure, but I sure would like to know." Would you raise your hand? All right. Maybe there's a part of this sermon that you needed. Maybe it's the justice. Maybe it's the mercy. Maybe it's the humility. Maybe it's the combination of. Who'd say, "Preacher, there's something in that sermon today that I needed"? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you need to come to this altar, you come. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and would like to join our church, you may. If you've been saved but never baptized, we could care for that. If you just need to come and pray at this altar and walk humbly with your God for a moment, you come.